Good afternoon, listeners. I am Carolyn Yeager, and this is the Revisionist Report on June 18th. I have big news tonight, and I'm going to announce this now at the beginning, and I will announce it again at the end of the program for people who may tune in later. And that is that this show, the Revisionist Report, will be moving to a Monday through Friday format at 9 a.m. in the morning, beginning, well, 2 days from now, this coming Monday, Monday the 20th. So I'll be having another show on Monday, and then another one on Tuesday, and then another one on Wednesday. So I'm feeling quite relaxed in that if I don't get everything said that I want to say, if I don't complete my story, so to speak, or my topic, well, I can always just pick it up the next day. And that way, things can sort of move along with a little more relaxation. I will be taking calls today for that reason, and the number is 800-313-9443. Now, back to the Monday through Friday format, 9 a.m. is a bit early. It's a bit early for me, but I've gotten used to it in my mind now, and I think I might actually like it. But for some of you, especially on the West Coast, although at 7 a.m. might be a perfect time to be listening, but then again, my subject matter is not typically what one expects to hear early in the morning, and it can get a little heavy. But for that reason, I would say those who prefer to listen at a different time of the day in the archives ought to get a subscription to the archives. It's only $1.33 a month. That is really cheap, just plain cheap. It's very, very, very good price for having access for an entire month to all the archives of RBN. Even if you only enjoy two or three of the shows, it's still worth it. So, but if for some reason you just don't want to give out your credit card information or things like that, I have been posting my shows on my website, but having 5 shows a week, I don't know that I'm going to continue doing that. I really probably, I don't think I should actually. So that's why I'm suggesting that you subscribe to the archives. Now, if you have a problem with any of this, or if you want to tell me why you need some such and such, you need me to give you the access or something, email me at carolyn@carolynyager.com. You know, my website is www.carolynyager.com, and I invite you to go there and look over what is there. And I also invite you to go to my other website, which is ellieweaseltattoo.com, which I think I'm very proud of that website. I think it's very valuable, has lots of fantastic information. If you have any interest in the Holocaust and Ellie Weasel at all, so I do encourage you to go and take a look at that. Now, tonight, at the request of another listener, I'm going to talk about literacy. Some of you who may come on my program here at RBN without previous knowledge of me may wonder why I discuss things like Heinrich Himmler's Posen speech, which I talked about last week, and the village of Lidice, that was demolished by the Nazis way back in 1942. It is because I want to bring to your attention an alternative version of history that far better explains not only our history, but our present day. We have to go back, and history becomes far more interesting, as it has to me. I'm someone who never got taken up by history. I wouldn't have read a history book or even a novel that was too historical, maybe. When I was younger, I was always more interested in the characters. But we'll continue with this after our short break.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alimax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
This is Carolyn again, and we're back talking about the story of literacy. I was just speaking about my interest or lack of interest in history when I was younger, and I really do think it's because I didn't find the history to be compelling, because actually now I know that most of the history in, was not really actual, was not true history. It was... We're not told the truth, and we're given a lot of myths. And I particularly was totally bored with U.S. history. I found that, you know. But it's not that history was too hard. History is not such a hard subject, you know, in high school and stuff. But so I didn't mind it, but I never remembered any of it, and it didn't make any impression on me. But now I have become very, very interested in history. But again, my interest is kind of in a special area. But that's only because I know that I can't, you know, catch up with everything, and I can't know enough about everything. So I focus on what I have become very interested in. And I'll say a few more words about that as I go on. But let me put it to you this way about our more recent history. And about the subject that I often talk about, which is Nazi Germany. What is called Nazi Germany is the only government of a major European nation that ever threw off the Rothschild banking establishment and instituted its own national bank and national economic program based on the value of the labor of its people. Now, as far as I know, this is pretty much true. In its entirety. And this is pretty amazing. Now, on top of that, the Nazi Party, created and led by Adolf Hitler, is the only ruling political party that based its entire program, or we might call it a platform, but wasn't just a program for one election, as our party platforms are, but it was the permanent program. They based their program in the interest of the Volk. Now, what is the Volk? Okay, the Volk is a German word for which is translated as folk, but folk does not really carry for us in English what Volk means to Germans. And the best I can come up with for the moment is something like national, racially similar people. I mean, it's like a family. It has the sense of family of one race, one nation, or one racially homogeneous nation, and who spring up from that territory, that land on which they are living. That is, they've been there long enough to be considered close to the original people there. So, and this party program meant what it said, and it kept its word. Now, at the same time, Nazi Germany is the one nation that Britain, France, and the United States set out to destroy, did destroy, and ever since it was destroyed during World War II and after, has been kept occupied and disarmed, and reinstated the Rothschild banking establishments, bringing the German Volk forcibly back into the family of Jewish-dominated internationalist intriguers and money kings. Therefore, why, I ask, you know, and I'd like you to ask yourself, why do you think it was the Nazis who were the bad guys? Because I think most of us, even those who are starting to be open to a different view, still have this habit of talking about Nazis as if they were bad guys, because it's very ingrained in our culture. But we have to question that, because we have to look at what was actually done prior to when Germany, the Third Germany as a Third Reich, was forced and tricked in a sense and pushed into World War II, into war, which turned out to be a world war, which the Nazis never wanted. So someone is telling you things that are not true. And I'm going to tell you flat out, I like the Nazis. Now, I didn't always. I like I said, I wasn't a big history buff, so I didn't pay a lot of attention, but I was certainly aware of how the Nazis were thought of in our American society, and I didn't argue with that. I didn't particularly like the way the Germans were thought about. I know that inside myself, because I'm of German ancestry through and through, and so I never particularly liked the way people would talk about the Germans, particularly during World War II. But, and sometimes I just didn't say anything, but I would never join in on it, because it inside me it didn't feel good. But it's not something I put much attention on as those little moments pass by. So, but let me just say that this is a big and complex subject, this whole subject, very, very big, and it cannot be summed up in a few words like this, or in a few, even in a few programs. And it has to be talked about in little parts. And so that's what I do. And tonight, the little part I'm going to talk about is Lidice. Lidice was in Bohemia, which is now the Czech Republic. In 1942, Bohemia had become a protectorate of the German Reich. On my programs of May 28th and June 4th, I talked about Czechoslovakia, and I had Will Heinck here on the 28th, and he gave us a very knowledgeable history going back to the Holy Roman German Empire, actually. And then I carried on the 4th, and so we've given a lot of history of Czechoslovakia, and I thought I would not talk about that anymore for quite a while, but now I have been brought back to it by this listener who asked me to talk about Lidice. And because of a recent article in Der Spiegel, the German very left-wing news magazine, and this article appeared last week, and I'm going to just read part of it, and I may make some comments as I read it, but it was entitled well, something I forget now. But what it's about is that there's this organization of Sudeten Germans who we discussed and described in those other programs, who were the Germans who were attached to the state of Czechoslovakia after World War One, and they had their mostly around the western and southern edge of that state, and there were quite numerous, 3 or 6 million. I'm not sure how many were there originally, but because a lot of them left, because they were so persecuted by the Czechs who dominated that nation. So let me just read now, and they still have an organization where they're trying to get recognition for the tremendous suffering that they're survivors, but they're probably their parents and grandparents and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and so on, experienced. It was horrendous, and I'm going to give you a little bit of an idea of what was done to these Germans, which you will find hard to believe. I mean, and it's very hard to read, but that's for later. So let's just start out here with this article. It says, during the 62nd annual meeting in the southern German city of Augsburg, Franz Pani, I guess it's P-A-N-Y, I'm going to pronounce it Pani, the leader of the Sudeten German organization, effectively demanded that Prague apologize for expelling the ethnic German populace. His comments were not well received. Well, I may not have made it clear, and some of you may not know this. These Sudeten Germans, they're called that, but they're no longer living with the Czechs in what is now the Czech Republic. They're in Germany. They were expelled from their homes and had to leave everything behind, and they're not welcome to come back. And they became refugees in Germany. They were ethnically German. And these are the people that make up what's called the Sudeten German. And they don't even give the name. They just say Sudeten German organization in this news article without ever giving the real name of it. But maybe in German, that's how it translates. So anyway, I will continue. During a speech on Saturday, I think that would have been last Saturday, Pani referenced Queen Elizabeth's II's historic visit to Ireland last month, where she expressed remorse over the violent past shared between Britain and its close neighbor. Quote from Pani, this is what Pani said, what prevents a Republican head of state, such as the president of the Czech Republic, from expressing something similar to the expelled and disenfranchised Sudeten Germans, he asked. Now, this is what these Sudeten Germans have been trying to do, is to get recognition for their suffering and the suffering and the tremendous injustice that was done to them. And you can see that in their environment, Czechs, Poles, and especially Jews and many others get all kinds of recognition. They also get compensation. They receive all sorts of sympathy. There are monuments and plaques, and of course Germany is covered with monuments to the Holocaust victims, and yet there is nothing that marks what any Germans outside of Germany that were expelled from these Eastern European or what really were Slavic dominated countries went through, and how many were murdered in the millions and millions. So this is what they're doing, and I think they should do it. But the world thinks they should shut up and be quiet. And so there is no sympathy for them, not even from their own government. The German government, as I've already indicated, does not represent the true people of Germany, because the people of Germany were so brainwashed and re-educated, and the government is really represents the world powers, and especially under the control of the United States. So it says no, there is going to be no mention of any German suffering. We Germans are only going to be asking for making apologies.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
I'm back, ladies and gentlemen, and I was kind of getting carried away in my frustration talking about this, but let me go on. Now, the leader of the Sudeten-German organization, they had a little they're having a meeting in Augsburg, Germany, and he, in his speech, just asked why the Czech Republic couldn't express some remorse for what happened to the Sudeten-Germans. And so the Czech president, Václav Klaus, picked up on that. He was, of course, not present, but he heard about it. And so he did not make such a concession, but he did accuse Pani of extraordinary insensitivity and thoughtlessness, particularly because his remarks fell on the anniversary of the Nazi massacre in the Czech village of Lidice, where some 340 people were brutally murdered in 1942, so he said. Now, first, I'm going to correct that number, because it was not 340 people who were murdered in 1942, but it was 192 men. These were the men from 16 years on up were all murdered, it is true. The number of women and children, the other part of that 340, subtracting 192, were women and children. They were not murdered. The women were sent to concentration camps, and the children were sent to, it's really not very clear, but orphanages and some to Germany, and I'll get into that in a moment. But they say that all these women and children mostly died or were gassed in gas chambers and so on later, but that is not proven at all, and so we can't include those women. So, but this is the kind of thing that they always do. And so what he's talking about is 192 men in this massacre on this day in the village of Lidice. Now, to go on with the article, Pani's suggestion also sparked heavy criticism among the Czech opposition. I think that means the opposition parties in the Czech Republic, because this was the president who made this statement. The deputy leader of the Social Democrats, Michael Hasek, because that's a Czech name, called his words on the day of remembering Pani's words effrontery, idiocy, and provocation. The head of the country's communists, we always have communist parties, you know, all over Europe. Communist parties are perfectly all right. Of course, right-wing parties are called neo-Nazi, and they try to outlaw them, but they can't really outlaw them, but they're close to being outlawed, even when they're not Nazi parties at all. But they're so afraid of a resurgence of anything to do with Hitler, because Hitler was actually still popular with a lot of people. So this communist leader said that that Connie's suggestion was the height of arrogance from this organization, which refuses to grasp who started the last world war and how the Germans who lived in the former Czechoslovakia took part. Now he's saying that those Sudeten Germans who were living with the Czech nation, and there are other minorities in that nation, took part in the world war, and they're guilty of it. Which of course is not true, but this is the attitude. What these Czechs are saying express the exact same attitude that is put out by the Polish nation and its leaders and representatives, and it's put out by others. All these ones who don't want to allow Germany to be anything but the perpetrator of the war and of everything bad that happened during the war, and the cause of it, and anything that happened to them was sort of a understandable retribution because of what they had done. And so then on top of it, the German government, all governments support their own people, but the German government does not support its own people in when it comes to anything to do with the war or this period of time. And it agrees that the Germans don't deserve anything, shouldn't get anything, and it doesn't help these organizations like the Sudeten German organization. So now I'm going to talk about just what happened in Lidice, and this comes from several sources, and I will give them as I go along. But I'll say that if you go to look up Lidice at Wikipedia, you're going to find a very strange page, which has a bunch of warnings at the top saying that it's not really what it should be. The information is not well sourced. It doesn't read right. It's not like an encyclopedia. It's like somebody writing an essay, and it is. And so you can't rely on what it says. Now, I'm just going to say that all the world likes to publicize and draw attention to this major German crime of the destruction of the Czech village of Lidice near Kladno. And this man named Erich Kern, who wrote a book translating the title as Germany on the Edge of the Precipice, had this to say in a short description of it. On September 22nd, 1941, SS Obergruppenführer Reinhard Heydrich, now he's the man everyone loves to hate, the deputy Reich protector of Bohemia and Moravia, had come to Prague, and in an astonishingly short time, he had won the Czech workers' and peasants' trust, which he had striven for, and was created in reconciliation between the Germans and the Czech people. We'll be back after another short break, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Heart Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your two-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We're into our long segment now, and I'll try to finish this everything that I have to say, and invite you to call afterwards, towards the end of it, or any time really. At the number is 800-313-9443. Now, I was telling you that Reinhard Heydrich was the SS Oper. He was an SS Obergruppenführer. Actually, he had been head of the SD, but he was made Deputy Reich Protector of Bohemian Moravia by Adolf Hitler, and he was doing a very good job, and his goal was to bring about good relations between the Germans and the Czechs, and it was working very well. I tell you, the Czechs had nothing to complain about. They certainly could complain that they were not the nation that they had been. They could complain about that, but they couldn't complain about their treatment particularly, because they were they had their own president, they ran their own business, you know, they had their own elected representatives and so on. They pretty much ran things under the oversight of the Germans, and they were all working. They had jobs, and they were money. And everything was normal and peaceful in their areas. Now, the British historian Alan Burgess recognized this by writing, and he was an extremely pro-Czech fellow. He wrote, he described the situation as saying that because the Czechs were, quote, slipping further into the Nazi camp, unquote, the Czech Secret Service determined that Heydrich had to die. Now, by slipping further into the Nazi camp, he meant that they were becoming less anti-German and more comfortable and content under the Germans and more friendly with the Germans. And this was not something that was desirable to England. And now the former Czech president, Edvard Beneš, who I've talked about, we talked about in the previous programs, he was in London as a government in exile. And so were quite a few other Czech leaders. They were all in London. They had formed their government in exile, and they had some Czech citizens there too. And among these Czech citizens were Jan Kubis and Joseph Gabčík, probably, I don't know. And they had been trained as paratroopers, for which reason they were chosen to carry out the assassination of Heydrich in the pre-noon hours of May 27th, 1942, as Heydrich was being driven through Prague in an open car, as was his custom. He had a driver, and he would drive through the city. Everyone knew it. He might not have been too smart, but he drove through the city every day at the same hour, going to his place of wherever he was going. And the people knew it, and everybody was the Czechs were not, they rather liked the guy. They treated him with respect. They called him, they spoke to him respectfully. He spoke to them. And this was the way it was. But now the English, as I said, they were really behind all this. And I'm going to give you a little background on that part of it in a minute. But I'll just finish with the story that the assassins had been, like I said, dropped by as paratroopers into the country secretly. They had guns. They had bombs that were made in England. And they were English bombs. They were found to be the type of bombs that the English made for these kind of sneak attacks, partisan type attacks. And they almost failed in their mission because their one guy's gun didn't go off, but the other guy threw one of these bombs at the car and the bomb exploded. And Heydrich survived, but he had some pretty bad injuries. They thought he was going to make it, but 9 days after the attack, he suddenly got very worse, and he died from septic poisoning, like from the shards of the upholstery of the car that, because of the bomb explosion, went into his body in all kinds of places, just penetrated his body, these little bitty tiny hairs from the upholstery. And this is what poisoned him in a way that they couldn't overcome it. And when he died, it was a terrible blow to the Third Reich and to Adolf Hitler, who really liked Heydrich. And I think that he was considering him as a real possible candidate for his successor. And of course, Heydrich has been painted as a terribly evil person, but I don't see him that way, but I won't get into that. Anyway, so this enraged Hitler, and it upset everyone of the higher ups in the Third Reich. It was a great loss to them, and they are very angry about it. And they knew they set out to find these assassins, but they also wanted to make a point of punishing the Czechs, or make an example to the Czechs, so that this partisan business wouldn't continue to grow, because it wasn't really very big. I mean, there weren't that many of them. I read a whole book about it that I thought was a fairly good book, and it was written by a Jew, so it wasn't a book, it was a book trying with sort of on the other side. So, but it gave a lot of information. And in this, the thing with the partisans is that they weren't very strong, and there weren't very many of them, but they were quite devoted, and they did have contact with England and help from England. And most of the Czech people who would ever find out anything about it would never tell about it, because that would be like being traitorous to your own people. But they weren't involved in it However, the Germans naturally would have thought if they didn't do something about this, it would have been send the message that, well, it was okay for these partisans to continue and more of them, and they would be emboldened to do more of these kinds of attacks. And the English knew this. At the same time, I want to tell you this, that the partisans themselves were divided about this assassination of Heydrich. And they said, you know, if we kill him or even attempt to kill him, this is going to make the Germans so mad, and they're going to attack us back, and they're going to attack the Czech people, and the Czech people are going to suffer from this, and maybe many of them will be killed or will die from whatever the reprisal action is. And we know, and they knew that. They absolutely knew it, and they didn't, but it was really the English who was encouraging this. They wanted this because they knew what a blow it would be to the Hitler regime, and they thought it would help them in the war. And they didn't like the fact that everything was so peaceful and going along so well among the Czechs. They wanted to do this to stir up more hatred and division and so on. So the ones who were warning against this were outvoted, and the assassination went ahead. And so, therefore, you can understand that the Germans had to do something. And what they decided to do was to take one village which had been connected with partisans, not necessarily that they had proven that these two men, who they eventually did catch, and they executed them, but that was after this, I recall. They picked this village because it had been very associated with helping the partisan movement. And even though, as I said, they didn't show or prove that these two had even been there, and we don't know if they were there or not, but one of them was connected in some way with the village. But they decided and that they were going to make an example of this village, and they were going to wipe out this entire village and everybody in it, and that's what they hoped suffice to show the Czech people that they were not to get involved in this kind of thing again or ever. So they chose Lidice, and in the early morning of June 10th, 1942, 30 Czech gendarmes of the Prague police, acting on German orders, executed 174 men aged 16 years and up. Well, elsewhere it's 190-some, but you know, these numbers get mixed up. They're always changing around a little bit, but it's something like that. And now here's the thing, that the it's always said that it was the Waffen-SS, or it was SS, that did this. But it's in, according to Eric Kern in this book, Deutschland am Abgrund, which is translated as Germany at the edge of the abyss, he says absolutely it was not the SS who were ever inside the village, but it was probably the SS who organized the whole thing. And then, because we know the name of the head there and some of what his communications. So they organized it, and they did probably surround the village and so that no one could leave it. And then they had the Czech police, the Prague police, go in and do the actual executing. And I believe this to be true. But they don't want to say that anymore. They don't want to include any Czechs as being a part of this, because the Czechs were cooperating with the Germans. They were under the protectorate of the Germans, and this is how things were done. And so it was the Czechs who did the killing. And then they separated the men from the women. They took the men into a barn, and they put the women and children in trucks and took them to a school, and they kept them there. They had told the women to prepare food in their homes. This was in the middle of the night when they broke into the homes. They ordered the women to prepare food for 3 days. And so the women and the children went to this school, and they stayed there for 3 days. And then they were sent to the concentration camp Ravensbrück, the women were, to work. And, of course, they say, well, they were then later put in gas chambers, or they were worked to death, or this or that. But there's no proof of that. just that they did go to these concentration camps. And I wouldn't say that these particular women were probably treated with any kind of tender mercies, but they may not have been treated any different than the rest. Now, but they were separated from their children. The children were transported to Lodz, which is a fairly major city in that area. And I think it's in Poland, but I could be wrong. Some were selected to be sent to Germany for Germanization. And I know there is a story of one boy who wrote all about how he was one of those and the home he was sent to and how it was. And the others, supposedly 81 of them, who were not sent to Germany, were sent to Chelmno and killed in gas vans. Well, folks, I say there were no gas vans. So what happened to them, we don't know. That's just made up. They could have been transported east, or the other thing is that they were put into German orphanages. But we really don't have records, and I think a lot of this stuff from here on in is made up. But no matter what happened to them, I mean, even if all what I'm saying is true, this is not a nice thing. This is a terrible thing that these people underwent. Truly, these 340 people from this, including children, from this village, their lives were destroyed. Whether they were killed immediately or whatever, their lives were really, really in. Although 17 of these children returned home after the war, it is said. So this is the story. But you have to, now from here on in, I'm going to talk about what the Czechs did to the Germans. I'm not going to apologize. Neither did the Nazis apologize. They announced what they had done. They wanted everyone to know. They weren't trying to cover it up. And they said, this is what we did to this village. But this is what they did to the Czechs in totality and nothing more. I'm going to take some calls. Let's see. We've got Jim in Texas. Hi, Jim.
Hello, Carolyn.
How are you?
Okay. I'm glad that you're going to be on daily starting next week.
Well, thank you. I'm getting to be kind of glad, too, because I never have enough time to say everything, and then I might end up getting too relaxed and taking too long, and that's not good either. But I'm glad you called. You know, I want some people who listen to me fairly regularly to call and let me know who they are and who's listening and why you listen.
What I mainly wanted to ask you about, are you familiar with a book that came out several years ago called The Pink Swastika?
Oh, yes. I have not read the book, but I'm certainly familiar with it.
Well, the theme of the book is that many of the Nazis, maybe including some of the higher-ups, were homosexuals, and that's why they hated the Jews, because, you know, in biblical Judaism, you know, their prescriptions against homosexuality.
Well, I know. You know, that's a nonsense book. It's just like there's so many of these books, they just look for every way they can to attack the Nazis and make them ridiculous so that nobody will pay
attention and in particular,
to all the good things they did.
Mm-hmm. And in particular, Heydrich in that book is referred to as the blonde beast because supposedly he was a pervert.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, I know all about that. You know, I don't... It's all, you know, when the worst you can do to people is to turn them into perverts, homosexuals, even though they want to, you know.
Yeah. Well, you always demonize your enemy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's your opinion of all of this overall?
Of the book?
No, this whole business of how they talk about the National Socialists and the Nazi party and how they call them homosexuals and perverts and so on.
Well, I think as you alluded to, or maybe even explicitly mentioned several times, we've been taught a lot of BS in school, let's face it. So we have to figure out history. We have to figure out history for ourselves. We can't rely on anyone from the establishment telling us the truth.
Well, you're very
not
right.
Not only about World War II, but about virtually anything.
Yes, that's right. I mean, this is where I keep my attention, but it's the same for everything, and I'm not ignorant about other things.
Right.
I just don't talk about them. But it, we really but what's the problem? One problem is that our own in the alternate areas or movement or I don't whatever you want to call it, there's a lot of nonsense like this pink swastika stuff.
Yeah.
Also. So we have to be careful. We can't just say, well, because it's not like the actual history that I keep thinking that the we're going to take a break here, that we can just accept what they say, because there's a lot of that. And I've talked about a lot of it, a lot of nonsense. And it all revolves around the Nazis. And that's the reason is that is the crucial element that they are using to keep us in so much of this ignorance. Well, here is the music now. It's come up. So, Jim, thank you very much for your call.
Sure.
And when we come back, I'll take Joe in Indiana again.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Theravim. Theravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesite, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Theravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit Theravim.com.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
This is an important message from hempusa.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Carolyn, back again for our last few minutes of this program tonight. And because I just made a beginning in this subject, I'm going to recommend that you take a look between now and Monday, if you're able to, at two books, which you can find online at Winterson & Wendy website. And if you just Google in, if you just write in on your search engine, Sudeten German Inferno. That's the name of one of the books. Sudeten German Inferno. Sudeten is spelled S-U-D-E-T-E-N. And Winter Sonnen Wende. That's all one word, German. Then you will, or maybe if you just write Sudeten German Inferno, you will no doubt It will take you there. And the other book is Documents on the Expulsion of the Sudeten Germans. Now, I'm going to talk about what's in these books on Monday. And it's going to be tough to talk about this on at 9 o'clock in the morning, but I guess I'm going to have to do it. So, and I also want to make my announcement, but right before we get off, let's take Joe in Indiana. Hi, Joe. Well, did Joe drop off maybe? Oh, okay. Okay, well, then I'm going to go and say a little bit about this, that I recommended the books to you. But, you know, as I was saying, this story of Lidice, which is not a nice story, but there was something that caused it to happen. And this was the totality of what the Germans did to the Czechs during that entire period. This and nothing more. But when you hear what the Czechs did to the Germans, and let's see, I think I might have time to read this introduction here. In 1945, this author is saying that, well, it might be possible to make a movie out of this, but it would be difficult of what happened. He said, one could not make a movie. It might be possible to reconstruct death marches and mass executions to show bodies with their noses, ears, and private parts cut off, wounded being thrown out of windows, people being roasted head down over open fires. It might be possible to portray the naked women on their knees being whipped through the streets of Prague, strewn with glass shards. This actually happened, people. It might be possible to film the thousands of women that were thrown into the river Moldau and Elbe together with their children in baby carriages and then raked with machine gun fire. It might be possible to use dummy dolls to represent the heads of the dead mothers and babies still sticking out of the filth of the camp latrines where they had been thrown, until they were finally covered over by the excrement of their fellow sufferers. It might even be possible to show bloody bundles of tortured people on the ground being forced to swallow human excrement and gags covered in such excrement being forced into their mouths. But who would be able to recreate the screams of the Germans whose torn bodies were rubbed with hydrochloric acid, who were beaten until their private parts were reduced to bloody lumps? Who is to recreate the screams of the women, whipped bloody, who were shoved naked, rear down, onto SS daggers? Hundreds of thousands went through this hell of torture before they were beaten to death or shot. Specifically, 241,000. And the number of soldiers, Wehrmacht soldiers, who were caught up in this, also who died in the course of this outburst of sadism, and in the same ways, was probably no less. Well, actually, it was about 250,000. So we're talking about 500,000 Germans treated this way. And this is only part of what happened in this great gigantic massacre of Germans in the East and Southeast. So I did get this in tonight. And I won't have to say this on Monday morning. Thank you all for listening. I invite you to meet with me on Monday, this coming Monday, at 9 a.m., and I will be there Monday through Friday on RBN. Good night.